Now, would you like to have your Bibles open, looking at the first psalm? I'll read it through again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Well, as many of you know, over the last weeks I've been looking at this first psalm. And I'm as certain as I can be that the first psalm serves as an introduction to the whole of the Psalter. In other words, it was intended to be, as it were, an introduction for all those who would read the other 149 psalms. And it's very striking to me, and it should be to all of you, that the very first psalm that is, as it were, as an introduction to anyone who'd read the other 149 would begin with a warning. And it seems to me that we should take great note of that. And I have highlighted it, the warnings with regard to those who we walk with, those we sit with, and those we stand with. So all those who are going to read the other psalms would at least have this psalm as an introduction. I think it is right that many of the old commentators said it was like a gatekeeper of the psalms. And so I think it is. And I just want to say something about warnings, that often even Christians find warnings very negative. But actually from God's point of view, and his is of course best, then if he raises warnings, then they're there for you to take notice of. You know, if you came a cropper in an accident on the road and you took no notice of the warnings, well, it was down to you. The warnings are there for a good reason, and so you find it in the Word of God. Take the ministry of John the Baptist, the warnings against the Pharisees, the religious leaders. The Lord Jesus Christ gives out warnings. He says that their teaching, the religious leaders, is like yeast that permeates through all of the dough and it affects the entirety of your being. He warned them. And when we come to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, listen to this. He says to one of the churches, I warned you night and day with tears. For years I was in the business of warning you. In fact, I'll quote it in the New Living Translation. It's very powerful. This is Acts 20 in the 26th verse. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. The Apostle Paul knew that the stakes were very high. Eternal death. He didn't shrink back from warning people. I'm saying to you at the very beginning, a warning ministry is extremely valuable, and we turn our noses up at it at our peril. So the psalmist has warned about who we walk with, who we sit with, and who we stand with. And it's a warning against the influence of those, as it were, who are marked out in the Word of God as the ungodly. Now, last week I concentrated on the one who meditates on the law of the Lord, or upon his requirements. And I talked then about the effects of that. In other words, it's like this. Who you walk with, who you talk with, who you sit with, who you spend your time with, they'll have an influence on you, don't you worry. Bad company corrupts good character. It's never going to work, I'm afraid, to think that actually you'll be able to escape the influence of bad company. Can't be done. Good company, in this case, the one who meditates upon the requirements of God, the law of the Lord as it is put here, the Word of God, They're about to be effects. And last week, I began by saying something about being planted. The effects of meditating on the Word of God meant that this man was actually planted. And I want to say some more. I broadly kind of sketched it out last week. But this morning, I want to give more life to it. So the one who separates himself out, the one who meditates on God's word and his law, you can take this away with you. He definitely, she definitely becomes something. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who thinks, well, I'm not sure what... No, he or she definitely becomes something in the text. It cannot be doubted. The text says, they are like trees planted. And that speaks of something that is established, an organism, a life that is established. I think it speaks of firmness, of having one's roots right deep down. But more than that, I think it speaks about something that has an impact. It's really there. And this man who meditated upon the word of God, I think like a tree, he has, she has an impact. If you find me a Christian, I'll tell you that person's life will have an impact. That's why Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. Christians who have no impact, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Are you a Christian? No impact. A tree. A tree, think about it. I saw a wonderful BBC documentary. If you can get it, watch it. It is phenomenal. It's about the life of an oak tree looked at for 1 year. Team from Oxford University went and analysed an oak tree, one oak tree. They worked out what it weighed. They worked out how much water it took in. They worked out the things that attacked it. They worked out its age. They looked at its ecosystem that it was established. They worked out how much wood it had put on in a whole year. They looked at its disease. They looked at things like, for instance, the parasite that works on one of the husks that produces something that when it dries out, you get what we have. What do you think of the Magna Carta? Well, better think highly of the Magna Carta. It wouldn't have been written without the ink that was produced from the oak tree gall. It's staggering. This one tree. And when you think of the poisons that it eats, that it sucks up. Yes? The carbons that it sucks into itself and the oxygen that it gives out. Look at a tree for yourself. One tree gives enough oxygen every day for four people to live by. One tree. The psalmist says he's like a tree. It has a presence. It has an impact. Yes, it has beauty. It has its own glory. It has its own majesty. And that's what this person is like. It is absolutely incredible. And when this tree that the team from Oxford University looked at had everything thrown at it, disease and pest and weather and lightning and thunder and hailstorm and everything else, it just stood there. And it took it all. Dropped its leaves in the winter and came back again in the spring and the summer. To be like a tree as a Christian is a fundamental concept and one which will do all of you good to just listen for the next 20 minutes or so. Unless we are planted in Christ, we are never going to be that tree, as it were, that shows this kind of life. We can never bring forth fruit that evidences life, because life has first of all got to be in us. We have got to be planted. And the very basic question, the foundation question for you, must be, have I been planted? If your parents gave you life, they did, and that's all the life that you have, then I warn you, I am warning you, that when that great day comes, when you must meet your Maker, your God, whether you acknowledge him or not, You'll only have your nature to present to him. You need another nature, friends. You need another life. You need another principle put in you. You need to be, as Jesus said, reborn completely. So I said last week, it's not about being planted in the church. It's not about a denomination. It's not about holding a particular theology, especially. It's about being planted in Christ alone. And just watch this. I've seen it. Take it from one who knows. I've been on the journey of the Christian life long enough. There are those who go to church. They get very interested in it. They actually come to like the people. Not surprising, because the Lord's people are rather nice people, I always think. And they say, do you know, I'd like to get involved. There's a work in that church, feeding the old people and a ministry to the poor. And there's philanthropy. All these things are laudable. There's good social work and outreach in that. I really want to get involved and do my bit in that church. Very good. But none of this is being planted. This isn't being planted. Being planted is to be in the Saviour himself. And this morning, if there is anyone here who is intrigued by the life of the church and drawn to the thing, I'm not surprised. Stop yourself. Make sure you get planted in Christ, because without his new life in you, you are dead and you are lost without him. Let me take the Lord's table, the communion, and as highly as I think of it, and baptism. How vital are these things? The Lord has only given two ordinances for us to continue to follow. One is baptism and one is the Lord's table. All the rest is faith. These two things you can see. And people think, well, if I can be a part of the communion of the Lord's table. This isn't to be planted. What do you think it is? Magic bread and magic wine? This isn't being planted. And then someone says, well, if only I was baptized. What do you think the waters are? Magic? They won't do anything. It's being planted in Christ. Do you remember when Jesus met the woman at the well? John's Gospel chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. He said to her, the water that you really need to drink is a water that comes up from within you that will flow forever and ever and ever. It will never ever stop flowing. It's the new life that I can give. That's exactly it. And then he said, you'll never be thirsty again. You can attend all the communion services you like and you'll be thirsty. You can have your baptism. You can have your involvement in the life of the church doing this, that, and that. You'll continue being thirsty. You need to be planted in Christ and in him alone. Now, it's interesting that in Matthew's gospel, you could see there in that passage, there are corrupt trees. Oh, yes. There are two roads. It's just that you don't know that you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, to death, to eternal damnation, to destruction, to God's judgment. You've got to find it. You've got to know this morning, am I a thorn bush? Am I nothing more than that? What do I constitute? What does my life show forth? And I think, actually, if the truth be known, in this room this morning, everybody knows whether they do or do not belong to Christ. They know it, really. They know. They know whether they've been planted in the Lord or whether they've just been planted in a church. And it's nice for me to say to you, and I do, I think, and I'll be saying more in a few moments about the life of the church. It's important to be planted in a church, to be in a good church which preaches from the Word of God as we do. I'm not saying just this church, because there are many other wonderful churches up and down this country that do the same thing. But it is not to be planted in this church first of all. Did you remember the reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where Paul says, I threw out the seed. Apollos came along. Great friend, he put the water on it, so to speak. But then what did he say? It was God who made it grow. Because Paul couldn't make it grow. And Apollos couldn't make it grow. And Andrew can't make it grow. and Trinity Evangelical Church, God has to give it life. So if the first principle of the seed isn't in you, every other foundation that you're looking for is of no worth to you. You've got to go to Christ. And I'm begging you again, with the life that's in me, to go to Christ and go to him alone, and he will save you from your sins. He'll pardon you. He will give you a new life that will never end. And you'll be changed and you'll be transformed from being dead to being alive. I can't do it for you, this church can't. Am I so glad that I can say I can't do it for you? I'm so pleased. What a relief. No pressure on me at all. All of that is with the Lord. All of that is with God. And so I'm persuading you. I'm urging you, young and old alike, get planted. Get planted in the Lord himself. Now notice the streams, the tree is planted by streams of water. And I said last week, it's not a reservoir, but streams. The streams, the idea is of fresh, continuous living water. And we must ask, of course, what is that water? Well, I think in the context, of course, it would be the watering of a newly planted tree. It has to come from somewhere. And that's why I say to people, it's terribly important to understand what the church is. And it is in the church very often that people will come together, but they'll come together for the wrong reasons. They come often for social reasons only. And that's a great pity. But to come to the church is to come to have that plant watered. It is a useful help, I hope so, for every one of you to try to imagine, difficult as it is, that once I looked completely different. I was once 21. I was a student. I went to London, converted to Christ, and never gone to church. Didn't read the Bible, didn't know any hymns or anything. And there I walked in, and I couldn't find any of the passages in the scriptures that the minister said, turn to 1 Corinthians. What is that? I was a stranger to it. But what I did is every Sunday, without fail, I went to that church. I never, ever did not go. And I just kept going and I kept going and I kept going. And soon, the little plant that had been planted by the Lord then, through the church, began to establish it. And I came to understand the central role of the church. Again, it's not magic, but it waters you. It feeds you wonderfully. Its streams of living water flow. So if you come here Sunday by Sunday, God willing, health permitting, the waters will just keep flowing. It's whether you want them or not. Come to the church and the waters will always keep flowing. I would say as strongly as this, that you can't do without the church. It's not possible. It will feed you, it will clothe you, it will teach you, it will water you, it will watch you grow, it will have a tender care over your life. And there are people I look out on this morning, I can see them. They grew up like tender shoots. The Lord planted them, we didn't. And they've grown and grown and grown and grown as they have been watered. So as Christians, you should join a good church, where the word of God is at the centre, where the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent above all others, and they should get themselves watered. Listen, constantly, consistently. Do that, and you'll not go far wrong. I might go into horticulture at this rate. There may be a future for me. Mark, you could take me on to work with you in your gardening. Now, what do we see that comes from this? We see that fruit comes. You can read it there. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season. So by nature, we're all thorn bushes. By nature. By nature, none of us have got any spiritual fruit in us. It needs that planting of one's life in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, watering in the life of the church, and then that tree flourishes and fruit begins to show itself. Are you a young believer? Well, I've already just told you I've been one, so I know what it's like to be a young believer. Right, what do I expect from a young believer? I expect fruit from a young believer. It will be childlike fruit, but it'll be fruit. And if you've been under the teaching of God's word for 30 years, it will be adult looking fruit. It will have a maturity about it, but it will be fruit. And you read the passage this morning. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. There won't be any question. There's no reason to doubt. All you need to do is to look, and I don't mind seeing childlike fruit. Don't you worry. It's lovely. It's wonderful to see someone in the infancy of their faith in Christ. Tiny little bits of childlike fruit. Wonderful. Those who've been on the road for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, they show perhaps a more mature fruit. Of course they do. Think of this. The life that is in effect a dry thorn bush can't hide it. It can't be hidden. It's obvious. And because it's shriveled up and it's dry and there is no blossoming nor colour in it, you can check it out. But when there's life in the tree, and there's colour, and there's beauty, and it blossoms, and there's fragrance, there you have it. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. So the one who is planted must always give off fruit. Now, I'll just say something very helpful for everyone here who's wondering, well, will my fruit look exactly like his? Of course, the wonder of the life of God in the life of the church is everybody's got their own gift. They've all got their own personality. They're all unique. They're all so wonderfully made by God and saved by his grace if they have been planted in Christ. And so one will bring forth this kind of fruit and another one will bring this. What a wonderful thing that is. But remember this, that unless you were planted, you could never produce any fruit by yourself. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. We know that because we read it this morning. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. It's as if it's number one. So I might ask you, what about the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives regarding love? I don't ask you, by the way, can you love someone? Oh no. I'm asking you, can you love them with Christ's love? I'm asking you, can you love the people that you like? Can you love your enemies? Now we're talking about Christ's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, all these fruit of the Spirit, they're modelled after the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So your kindness had better be like his kindness, and your forbearance had better be like his forbearance. Can you put up with one another as he puts up with you? Do you find yourself like that sometimes? Oh, I cannot put up with this person anymore. And then you're reminded, the Lord is putting up with you because of forbearance. So you'll need the fruit of the Spirit, which shows forbearance. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. What kind of peace? Not that kind of peace that you hear the politicians speaking about. course not. It's the peace which passeth all understanding that the Lord gives. Is that the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Can you do the fruit of the Spirit which is kindness? Can you do the fruit of the Spirit which is goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? This is the fruit of the Spirit. Can you see how radically demanding the Christian life is? No wonder people don't like Christianity. I'm not surprised in the slightest. Someone like me comes along and preaches and says that this is the fruit that comes up from a new life. Indeed it is. So planted, watered, meditating on the Word of God. Not sitting in the counsel of the ungodly. You watch that person start to show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. But there's another vital thing that I want to draw your attention to. I won't keep you much longer. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Now, this text says it never withers. So I believe it because the Word of God says so. It says it never withers. So you can take it with you. The reason why I highlight this is because I've heard it's put so often in my Christian life that people say, I wonder about becoming a Christian because will I be able to stay the course? Will I be able to keep going? Will I follow Christ now but then not follow him in years to come? When the pressures and the stresses come in the Christian life, will I abandon it all? And people have been to me and they've said, look at him and look at her. She fell away, he fell away. They were very enthusiastic. They came to church. They were committed. They were this, they were that and the next thing. But they fell away and do not any longer profess their faith in Christ. But let us at least give, not their voice, the voice, but let us give the scripture the voice. The scripture says their leaf does not wither. That I consider to be emphatic. And I must tell you so that you can take it away with you that the clear teaching of the New Testament from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ and from his apostles is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves. And he saves people in such a way that when he saves them, they are saved and they are in an iron-like grip. And that iron-like grip is full of love and compassion and tender mercy because he loves them so much. He has them so firmly in his grip. Now, I do dearly love my grandchildren. And if I so wished at the moment, don't know when they're about. Lois, when you're about 15, it might be a bit more difficult. But at the moment, I can get her in my grip. I can put my hands on her wrists. And if she struggled, she wouldn't be able to get free. And if I held on to her, I'd say, ah, I'm holding on to you. You won't be able to get free. That's what I do sometimes. Don't I, Lois? Yeah. Because I love her. But what is my love next to the love of God for his people? It's an iron-like grip of tender compassion and love and mercy that will never let go. And even though I wriggle about, and even though I am troublesome to the Lord, and I am with my life, I know that. Look at the sixth verse. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. That's it. Oh yes, the Lord is watching over his people. Are you planted in the Lord? Are you planted in the Lord? Then fear not. He will not let you slip. He will not let go of you because you are his child. Quickly, let me tell you. He knew you before time began. He predestined you in Christ to be his child. He chose you in eternity. He sent his son to die for you. He laid down his life because the Father had already given you, as it were, a gift to him. and he offered up his life, and he redeemed you, and he paid for all of your sins. And guess what? He gave the Holy Spirit then to be in your life as a deposit. Listen to the word. I'm quoting the scripture. Guaranteeing what is to come. This is the iron-like grip of the love of God for his people. Friends, God has made a gargantuan investment in us. He does not let go of his investment. I was going to say he does not let go of it lightly. No, he does not let go of it lightly. He does not let go of it, period. He never lets go of it. Even this day, you can leave this place and you can say, if you're planted in Christ, he was born for me. He died for me. He is the man in glory who prays for me. For there is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And this day he prays for me. Just listen to this. Let the Lord Jesus Christ have the final word. Amen to that. These are his words. This is John's Gospel, 10th chapter. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. All those who fell away that you heard about, all those who said, I no longer am interested in Jesus Christ, all those who no longer came to the worship of God with any enthusiasm and petered away, they were never planted. They just simply were never planted. Because the ones who have been planted will remain to the very end, because the scripture says their leaf does not perish. It does not fail. So the beginnings, the foundation for all of you to take away with you this morning are like this. Learn that it is most important. You can rest secure in his loving embrace if you are in the Lord, if you have been planted in him. And just like the oak tree that I spoke about earlier, you can throw disease at it. Because actually, disease comes to attack the Christian as much as someone who's not a Christian. Yes, but God and his grace will sustain that person. And you can throw all manner of weather at it. The weather of life may descend on it, the cold and the heat and the thunderstorms and the lightning bolts and everything else, the spiritual testing, the drought and the floods. You name it, they can all come against that tree. The winds of temptation. But I tell you this, that if it has been planted by the Lord, it will never wither and it will never die. To quote the anthem of those Liverpudlians, those Scousers who sing for their team. Oh, what a pain that is to me. They'll never walk alone. We shall not be moved. And there it is for every Christian to take away this morning. It is true to say a tree is stationary. It is fixed, firmly planted. And yet in the course of a year it goes through many changes. And so the man or the woman who is planted in the Lord, you should expect changes. Of course you should expect changes. Things won't remain exactly the same. They'll be altered because you've been planted in the Lord. But by the end of this year, you'll still be there. And at the end of the year after, you'll still be there because you have been planted in the Lord. What I want is for everyone. Not some. But I want everyone to know the truth of what I'm saying. And for them, for you yourselves, for them themselves, to stand up and say, I am planted. I am planted in Christ. May it be for every single one of us, young and old alike. May God bless his word to us. Amen. Amen.